Breathe. We're going to do that one again. Praise you, Lord.
Nah.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, here we stand. Our hearts are yours. Lord, we pray today, not our wills will be done, but yours, Lord God. Your kingdom come and your will be done in this place, in this state, in this nation. Lord God, we just thank you. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that even in our pain and suffering, Lord God, you are shaping us. You're shaping our hearts. You're toughening us up, Lord God, and we've only begun to see what's coming. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would continue, Lord, to strengthen us, fill us, correct us. Lord, bring us to our knees. I just pray in Jesus' name your blessing on this morning, Lord, that the people listening, Lord, would be touched. Lord, that you would just touch their hearts. Lord, if there's anyone who doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that by the time this is over, that they have given their life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not Pastor Dean. I have more hair. Say, do I do this first? Oh, y'all do this. Pastor Dean is in Huntsville at a freedom rally with some of our guys, so you guys know that, but they don't, so thank you for joining us. I'm Pastor Nancy, and I'm going to just share what the Lord has laid on my heart. It's for me, it's for you, it's for whoever wants to listen, whoever has ears, let them hear. The title of this today is Prepare the Bride. Is this on? Ah, it is. All right. I can't see that far because I'm not that good. So, of course, we know that we are the bride of Christ. Well, if you are a born-again believer that you're living for Jesus, you are considered to be the bride of Christ. Revelation 19, 7 through 8 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." So that's Revelation 19, 7 and 8. So here we're instructed, basically, we know that we have to do something, right? She's made herself, his wife hath made herself ready. So we have to do something. Of course, Isaiah 64:6 says, "But we are all an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags." So this righteousness of the saints is not something that we really can attain on our own. A lot of people will drive themselves crazy trying to clean themselves up, trying to do it in their own flesh. That is not the way the Lord intended it to be. We're supposed to draw on his righteousness. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So we're supposed to be seeking his righteousness, "and all these things shall be added unto you." So we're first supposed to seek him, and that will take place in our lives. We'll become more like him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So praise God that it's not left up to us to keep laws, to check off boxes, to do all these things, but we are still expected to do something. We're all unclean. And if you don't think that you have issues as a Christian, then you have an issue. That's just the way it is. A quote that Pastor Dean made, I don't even remember when this was. He quoted Isaiah 6:5, and said, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And Dean said, when you truly get in the presence of God, the first thing you realize is that I don't care how holy you think you realize you are not, because instead of comparing yourself to others, you compare yourself to him. And that's what we need to do. A lot of people think that they have holiness or righteousness, but once you get in the presence of God, if you're spending time with God, you realize how unclean you truly are, and that there's always work to do, always. I don't care who you are. So how do we go about this cleaning process? God put this on my heart, Malachi 3, 2 through 3, a while back, and I started studying about this. It says, "But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire." Now, we all know, you know, that's been used a ton throughout the church about being refined by the fire. And, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fire, and Jesus was with them and all that. And that is true. And I started looking at the process yesterday of refining silver or gold in a fire. Do you know what the first thing they do when they pull that out of the mine, when they pull it out of the darkness? They crush it. They have to crush it. That's how the refining process starts. It's crushing. That's pleasant, isn't it? He refines us like silver and gold. So a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. There's that righteousness again. It's all about becoming more pure. Be holy as I am holy, right? As he is holy. So what is this fuller soap? Has anybody ever? That's not something that we generally do because we don't do a lot of woolen clothing. But back in the day, and even in things they make now, fulling is a step in woolen clothing making which involves cleansing of the cloth to eliminate impurities and make it thicker and stronger. Thicker and stronger. So how do we do this? This is the process. Got it straight off the internet, so it must be true. The first part is scouring, to clean something by rubbing it with an abrasive detergent. An abrasive. That's pleasant, isn't it? Abrasive. The first part of this cleansing is abrasiveness. How many things have we had in our life that are abrasive? You know, they talk about, you know, sandpaper rubbing up against your marriage is part of this scouring process. If you you rub up against each other, you know, in the wrong ways, and it, hopefully it purifies you. Hopefully it does what God intends it to do. Kills you in a good way. Your pride, you know, all of these other things. So the second step is thickening, to give something strength and increase waterproofing. That's called felting. Felting occurs through hammering or agitation, which causes the fibers to hook together like Velcro. The more agitation there is, the thicker or stronger the cloth becomes. I hear, yeah, exactly. The more agitation. So we should be thanking God for the things that he sends in our lives to agitate us, to thicken us up, to make, my goodness, to make us stronger. You know, I can think of many things in my life that we've gone through, especially coming here, that have been agitation, that have been hammering even. You know, Isaiah 48:10 says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." We've done things here that I've been like, "Lord, why are you doing this to us?" You know, I mean, even in August, the COVID thing, "Lord, what is going on? How come?" But we have to go through these things. It's tough, and I know people here are going through some stuff. You know, our dear friend in Colorado going through some stuff. We get emails, people losing their jobs, people about to lose their jobs, and it's not right what's going on. But these things, either it will destroy us and make us turn away from God, or it will make us stronger, it'll make us closer to God. It will thicken our skin. It will keep these things, as they come more and more, they will roll off of us. You know, we will be waterproof. These things will, as it gets worse, and it's going to get worse. We think we're going through some stuff. Last year, we thought we were going through some stuff with COVID, and we did. You know, Troy, you definitely did. And thank you for giving it to us. So we could be stronger. Appreciate that. But it did. It strengthened us. It strengthened us. It strengthened our relationship with God. It strengthened even our relationship with the saints. And then, you know, this year going through COVID. We thought last year was bad. This year was worse. But what happened? You know, we are, even as a church body, I think it strengthened us. We had Zoom prayer calls. We really pressed in. So these agitations, these afflictions, these issues, they bring us closer to God and hopefully closer to the body of Christ. Let's see. What's next? Rinsing. Rinse with water to remove foul-smelling liquids from cleansing. Do I tell you what I found out about this last night? Yeah, I will, because that's the way I roll. So back in the day, the foul-smelling liquids were actually to cleanse the wool, because there's oils and all this other stuff and impurities in it. It was actually urine that they would stomp on and stuff. So this step of rinsing and cleansing was extremely important, because you didn't want it if it had not been rinsed and cleansed, right? You wouldn't want it. Ephesians 5:25-27, it says, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." So, I mean, this is speaking directly about his bride, you know, the glorious church. We are supposed to come to him. We're not going to be perfect. None of us are, like I said. And if you think you are, then shoot me an email and I'll tell you how you aren't. But I'm just kidding. Not really. You can. But sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of the water of the word. When we get into the word, when we live our lives diving into the word, feeding on the word, consuming the word, it cleanses us. You know why? Because we can see. We can see what the Lord is expecting of us, and we can see where we don't measure up. We can see the places in our lives that we need to work on. We can see where we need to get on our knees and ask the Lord for his help. Washing with the water of the word, it's very important to stay in the word. When you don't, you probably become jaded and you become distant from God, right? So it's very important, and it's all part of the cleansing process that he has for us. Stretching. That's a good one too, isn't it? Doesn't that feel good when you have to be stretched? Stretching. Stretch on a rack. So they take this woolen cloth and stretch it on a rack to make the cloth take on the desired shape. To take on the desired shape. Now, who's the one that's supposed to be shaping us? The Lord. Yes, Jesus. I jotted that down when we were singing the song earlier. The pain that shaped our hearts. This is all part of it, you know. And then it says, stretching pulls it into a specific shape and ensures that the fabric will hold that shape even if it is severely abused. Yeah, even if it's abused. You know, that's just good. You know, isn't the Lord good? I mean, he does these things, and so many times we question, you know, why have I gotten sick? Why is my child sick? Why am I losing my job? Lord, aren't you with us? But it's all for our good. It's all to help us in the end. And I'll tell you, well, here's a scripture for that. Philippians 4:11-13. Oh, Lord, let us be this. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. No matter what state, be content. That's just not the American way. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. So no matter what the circumstance, no matter how you're stretched, I was telling a story the other day about when we first moved into our old house, and praise God for our old house. It's had issues, but praise God, you know, he gave us an inheritance. And we have spent all these years saving up money to fix every little thing about it. But it's our, you know, thing to fix up. But when we first moved in there, Dean calls me, hey, kids, I'm from New York. I'm not from New York. I have some tendencies that are not Southern. I can't help it. I don't know why. Probably because I'm a city girl. But I don't like tomatoes. Don't try. I just will not like them. So when we first moved into this house, it happened to be the coldest winter in North American history. I mean, it was 6 degrees. Like, that was not normal, you know, 6 degrees. And this house has no central heat or air. And we were struggling. We were, you know, we had started the church. Dean had been out of work for a while earlier because of his Achilles tendon being completely severed. And the Lord provided for that. That was agitation. That was a stretching. But then we move into this house, and we just, you know, small church, not a lot of stuff coming in. And we ended up, we couldn't pay our bills, literally. I mean, we could not pay our bills. It happens. It happens sometimes. That's real life. We don't live on credit cards. Neither one of us have had a credit card since we've been married. I got rid of mine before we got married, and he got rid of his. So we've always been, if we have the money for it, we pay for it. Well, we didn't have the money for our bills, so we didn't pay for it. So we ended up in this cold, cold winter. We kept our power. That was good. We kept our power, but we had our cell phone service was cut off. Our internet service was cut off. Our landline was cut off. We were completely cut off from the world, just completely. We had hot water until the propane tank that we didn't know had a messed up gauge ran out. And, of course, we didn't have the money or ability to get that. So then we lost our hot water. But we still had electricity, and we still had running water. So we we started boiling a lot of water. I thanked God for my electric stove. And I was just sitting there. We would boil. I called it our tribulation practice. Tribulation practice, because we learned how important it was to have camping showers. If you don't have one, get one, because they really help you in a time of needing to get clean. You can put water in there and leave it out in the sun, but we had camping shower that we strung up on our shower. I was able to boil water, and, you know, I like to keep dishes clean, so I was able to pour it in the sink and keep the dishes clean, so I was, like, rejoicing. I can still clean dishes. That's a big deal for me. And I'm sitting there cleaning my dishes, and I'm breathing smoke out of my mouth because it's so cold in the back kitchen that I'm in. And I'm just praising God, and all of a sudden my feet start freezing. And I look down, and our sink had completely sprung a leak, and the water was just pouring out into the floor under my feet. And I had to laugh, you know, because it was like, okay. All right, maybe I shouldn't be doing dishes. Maybe I should just be reading my Bible. And, you know. But, you know, it was good for me. I needed to have that time. And I can look at that and say, you know what? I can live without this, this, and this. Of course, we go out to get in our car, one car, and he's pulling something because he was chopping wood for our wood-burning stove to keep us warm I know, it sounds like pioneers, doesn't it? And so he pulls something with it, and it won't pull. Our transmission went out. All in 1 week, I kid you not. This all happened in 1 week. 1 week. Y'all remember, don't you? You were here. But what do you do? We had some really quality time. What is the response when things hit you like that? You know, are you griping and grumbling and complaining and angry at God? Or do you just sit there and go, well, I think I'll take this time to spend time in the Word. I think I'll just take this time to worship. I think, you know what? I think I'll appreciate the fact that nobody can reach us and we have some quiet time. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you this. We'll go to the next slide. If you read the Bible, everybody that had a calling to do something on their life, every one of them went through these times. They had to. They couldn't be what God wanted them to be if they didn't go through tough times. You know, Noah mocked. And even after that, after they saw that he was listening to God, his own kid was snarky with him. So, you know, Ham dissed him whenever he made a mistake. You know, Moses' mother had to give up her child. Send him floating, right? I mean, how hard is that? You've got all of these, Joseph and Mary, what they had to endure to bring about the promise of Jesus. I mean, they had to pick up and leave. They had to be, it wasn't cool to be pregnant before you were married. So they had to endure that, people not understanding. And people may not understand where God is taking you, like them. God didn't speak to them. God didn't call them. Don't expect them to be on board with you all the time because they may not be on board with what God's doing in your life. So just like Joseph and Mary, the people around them didn't know that God was doing a mighty thing in them. They were definitely mocked and despised. Hannah had years of misery, longing for a promise. Longing for a child. I just want a child. I just want a child. That was the desire of her heart. And then when she got that child, yay, answered prayer, she gave the child back to God. You know, it's not always a fairy tale ending. Of course, it ended up well in God's eyes and his plan, but all of these people, you have to go through the furnace. You have to go through the cleansing. You have to go through the strengthening to get where God wants you to be. And in America, especially, I hate to be downer on America, but we are really weak and we're sissies. We're spoiled. So there's a lot of this happening right now, and it's fixing a. That's so Southern. I'm not New York. Do you hear that? It's fixing to get worse. And of course, we have Jesus, our example, our major example of what he had to go through for us. He didn't deserve it. He did not deserve any of the persecution, the beating, the mocking, the death. He deserved none of that. He did it for us. But he had to take up that cup, and he did the will of his Father. And that's what we need to do. We need to make sure that whenever the Lord gives us a cup of pain, you know, or a cup of affliction, cup of issues, that we take up that cup with a pure heart and a good heart, and we say, okay, Lord, doesn't matter. Like Mary said in Luke 1, she said, be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word. That needs to be our heart. Lord, whatever it is. If I have to go through COVID, if we have to lose our job, if we have to move out of this big house, whatever it is, Lord, just whatever your will is, that's what I want to do. So part of this preparing, prepare the bride, is what is coming? What is coming for us sheep that are getting fold, fulling process, the soap, the fuller soap. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So there's a gross darkness, and you know we've used this. We used this in our Skyfall conference. The scripture was the theme, because this is what's happening on the earth right now. This is where we are. It's getting darker and heavier. The spiritual battle is getting more intense. This is what is happening. So what do we have to look forward to? I mean, we have the glory of the Lord to look forward to. Like, his presence here this morning was awesome. But what else do we have to look forward to? And why is God wanting us to strengthen up? Because this is what he's telling me to tell you. Strengthen yourself. You've got to basically get thicker skin. You cannot continue to let things shake you. You cannot continue to let things rock your relationship with the Lord and those around you. You cannot continue to live in your flesh and be a soulish Christian and respond in a soulish way. Soul meaning mind, will, and emotions. You cannot live out of your mind, your will, or your emotions. It's got to be God's will, and you've got to toughen up, soldier. So Luke 21:25-26 says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear." Isn't that where we are? Last year, this year? And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So men's hearts failing them for fear. I mean, I've never seen a more fearful time in my life. It's not really anything to be fearful about, but if you know the Lord, because either you live or you die. I mean, there's nothing to fear in death if you love Jesus. But I found this interesting. I've never looked up perplexity before. So it says, there shall be all these things with perplexity. That means a state of quandary, to have no way out, be at a loss mentally, not to know which way to turn, to be in straits or tight places. I just thought that's an extra bonus there. So Daniel 11:33 says, sorry to give you all the doom and gloom, but this is what we need to realize is coming. And I know this church body understands we've had end times prophecy and end times teaching and all of these things, but Daniel 11:33, "And they that understood among the people shall instruct many." Yay, that's good. "Yet they shall fall by the sword and by the flame, by captivity and by spoil many days." This is what we have to look forward to, along with all the good stuff. Everybody take a deep breath. It's okay. And then we have Matthew 24. Just gives us a list of good stuff, huh? Deception, wars, famines, pestilence, which is disease and plagues, which is, we are there. Earthquakes. And you think, I tell you, we were talking this week, they're even talking about the possibility. Now, nobody get in fear about this, but the possibility, there's been some gain-of-function research on tweaking things with Ebola. You think that COVID was bad and brought fear. If they release that, yeah, we better be strong and we better have the light to shine into the world, because they're going to need it and we're going to need it. So we have in Matthew 24, deception, wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes. And that's just the beginning. That's the beginning of sorrows. Isn't that good to know, huh? More. It goes on to say, affliction, being killed, hated, many offended, betrayal. You know why my theory on many offended? I've said this before. I'll say it every time. You know why many offended is in there? Because of Facebook. Because of Facebook. If you're easily offended, stay off of Facebook. Stay off of Facebook anyway, unless you're doing ministry, really. It's unbelievable the amount of people who get into fights on Facebook and end up hating one another. Absolutely hating one another. And guess what? That is a setup for the end, because if you have unforgiveness in your heart, and this is just a side note, if you have unforgiveness in your heart and you're offended, which means that you have unforgiveness in your heart, the Lord will not forgive you. So you can live as a Christian all your life, but you get on Facebook and start hating people, you are in danger of hell. So that's a freebie. But that's not all in Matthew 24. So then there's more. For then shall be great tribulation. Was that not tribulation? Wait a minute. I'm going to read up here. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So except those days should be shortened, there would be no flesh saved. I always thought that was just the wars and things. That's vaccine. I looked up last night, yesterday, the word tribulation, which affliction and distress and things like that. But I never have seen this. Pressure. There shall be great pressure, coercion, enforcement. Isn't that something? God is into the details. When we get in and really look, there's more to it than just reading. Yeah, compulsion. So there will be great pressure, coercion, such as was not since the beginning of the world. And if he didn't shorten the days, nobody would be left. That's what we're living in. I mean, that really is where we are. All right, next slide. So we come back to this. We have this to look forward to. I highlighted the good part. See? We can look on the good part. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. All right? So there's good things coming. But we won't be able to be carriers of his glory if we're fearful and angry and hateful and full of anxiety. Do you think that people are going to look to us if we're freaking out over everything and running around? No. And then Daniel 11:32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, which is bold or daring feats. This is where we need to be in the last days. This is what we need to be. We need to be doing exploits. We need to know God so closely. We need to be with him so closely that he's part of our life. That we're going to be able to, when someone is losing their job, we're going to be able to pray and release, just like Jesus in the storm. We're going to be able to pray and release peace, supernatural peace. We're going to be able to pray and release healing, supernatural healing. And we have this hope because we have Acts 2. And it says, but this is that which was spoken by prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is our promise. This is our hope. This is what we need to focus on. We need to be focusing on preparing to be one of the remnant. We need to be spending, we don't have a lot of time. I know people have been saying that for years. But if you cannot see the signs, then you are not spending enough time with the Lord. We do not have a lot of time. You do not have a lot of time to prepare. You do not have a lot of time to get your heart right and get all of this filthy stuff out of you. This, even unpleasing things to the Lord. It may not even be, you know, one of those icky sins. It may be pride, unforgiveness, those type of things. Our only hope is God. And that's what we need to focus on. The world doesn't have this. They're hopeless. If they cannot turn to God, they have no hope. If they do not give their lives to God, they have no hope. And it Hebrews 6:19 says that the hope we have through Jesus is an anchor of the soul. Keeps you steady. Keeps you there where you're supposed to be. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. The hope we have in Jesus is what's supposed to stabilize you. It's supposed to keep you steady, your mind, will, and emotions. If your mind, will, and emotions are everywhere but where it's supposed to be, then you may not have this hope going on in your life. You're looking at the wrong things. Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." So this is a supernatural thing. It's a supernatural thing to abound in hope, joy, peace. God will bring you peace and joy, and you can abound in hope, but it's a Holy Spirit thing, which means we have to be close to the Lord. So draw nigh, close to God, and he will draw close to you. That's, everybody can quote that one, right? We love that one. Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. But we tend to forget what's above it. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. These are things that we have to do. We have to submit ourselves to God, and that means whatever his will is. If it means you never get married, then you never get married, if that's his will. If it means you move, then you move. If it means you don't, you know, buy tons of material stuff, then you don't be a materialistic person. And then you have to resist the devil, because he's going to come in with fear. He's going to come. Fear is a real spirit. I have felt it come on me before. I used to have a problem with a spirit of fear. It will tell you that your house is on fire whenever it's not, and you will hear it. Had that happen before. And after my first father-in-law, died in a house fire, that spirit of fear came on me, and I would wake in the middle of the night, and I would hear my house on fire. It took a while to overcome that, because at that point, I didn't know what I was dealing with. So it will tell you have health issues that you don't really have. Now, there are health issues, but it will come on you and lie to you, lying spirits, things like that. So you have to resist the devil, resist the fear, resist the anxiety, resist doing the things that he wants you to do, because the devil can be tricky. So we've got that above, draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. And then we have stuff below it. I just did this picture because isn't that a cute little sheepy? I mean, what a look. That's, oh, goodness. I didn't notice he had his tongue sticking out. Anyway. I'm sorry. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Daughter, don't be turned to mourning. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. So you have to lower yourself. You have to deal with your stuff for the Lord to be able to lift you up. And then, of course, there's this one about judgment begins at the house of God. We've got to get our house clean so we're ready to do what we need to do for the world. And this is what we need to do. 2 Chronicles 7, 12 through 15. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. How many of you have a chance for God to actually say that to you? Are you praying? How many of you would be in the situation where the Lord said, I have heard your prayer and I have chosen, right? Chosen you, chosen this you this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my heart attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. So when we humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, get our house in order. And for those of you who have families, that means the whole house. You know, you get yourself right first. We have a lot of spouses that want to work on their spouse more than they work on themselves. Get yourself right. As right as you can be, and continue to make that journey towards God. Don't go backwards. And then get your house in order. Get your kids in order. Teach them what's coming. That is so important. If you are not talking to your children about what is coming on the earth, you're doing them a disservice. You may think you're protecting them, but you're not. You're doing them a disservice. So get yourself in order. And this is what happens when the Lord pours out his spirit, as he has promised. We read in Acts. This is 2 Chronicles 7 also, 1 through 3. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. This is coming, y'all. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good and his mercy endureth forever." This is what we want. This is what we want. This is what we need to deal with what's coming. We need God's glory. We need his mercy. We need to be reaching him in prayer. In our personal lives, as a church, the viewers, we need to be doing this. And we come back to this. And then once we do these things, the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. We're going to have some awesome times ahead, but we're going to have some very dark times ahead. And so the Lord has just laid it on my heart to speak to everybody out there, here, whoever listens to this afterwards, and just say, prepare. You have to prepare. You have to prepare yourself. Prepare those around you. Warn those around you, because 2020 was bad. 2021 has been worse. 2022 it's not going back the other way, guys. Yeah, it's going to be worser. It's going to be worser. And then we have the worsest. So prepare the bride. Prepare yourself. And that's, as we close, we're gonna do that song one more time, because that's just the one that the Lord laid on my heart And that line that says, here we stand, our hearts are yours, not our will, but yours be done. That's what we need to be crying out daily. Is your heart his? Is your heart the Lord's? Have you given him everything? Do you have idols in it? Are your children an idol? Is your way of life an idol? Is your getting a spouse an idol? Is having your home a certain way an idol? There can be idols that aren't just statues, and we've got to make sure that our heart is totally emptied out so he can pour in what he's about to pour out. So. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that you woke us up. We thank you that you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to be resurrected after the third day. Lord, to tear the veil. Lord, that we could have a relationship with you. Lord, that we can worship you directly. Lord, we can feel your presence and your goodness. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, if there's anyone out there who doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that they would today just bow their knee. Lord, that they would declare that you are the Lord. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, I pray that they would give their life over to you, that they would surrender their will for yours. Lord, I pray that they would repent of their sin, which means turning away from it. Doesn't mean they're perfect, but Lord God, that they would, Lord, that they would begin that journey. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for all those that don't know you that are listening, Lord. Lord, that you would just reveal yourself to them in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for this body. Lord, I pray that you would continue to purify us, to strengthen us, Lord God. Lord, to pour your spirit out on us, Lord, like never before, like you have promised, Lord God. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for your hope in a dark world, in a very dark world. We thank you that you are the light and you are our hope and you are our strength. Lord, I pray that for everyone who's listening, everyone here, in Jesus' name, Lord, that they would be strengthened in their inner man. Lord, I just pray for this day, Lord, that you would bless and protect all, and Lord, that you would lead us and guide us and give us discernment in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hug some necks. Hug some necks before you leave. Thank you. God bless.